the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio. And joining me for the first time on the show, which seems kind of insane, but for the first time on the show, not only the voice of the Bison, but the voice of the intro, Jeff Culhane. Jeff, did you know that you brought the people to Bison Radio each and every week?
You told me that, and it's great to be on with you. I appreciate it, you know, and obviously – always fun to talk Bison, always fun to talk NDSU. And how about the voice work by Andy Rickoff there as well, our guy? How about that?
Andy Rickoff, no longer of the morning kickoff, but now joining up with you. How's that been going? The transition from longtime Insiders host Jeremy Jorgensen. Have you had fun moving the show towards this new direction with our good friend Andy?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, Andy is more than deserving of the opportunity. He's worked his tail off. He keeps working his tail off, right? And so we have him doing a lot of things, and it seemed like a really seamless transition. Andy was already a big part of the show as kind of a third voice and producer, and he does a really good job and very knowledgeable of the local sports scene, and a huge Twin City sports fan growing up in Prior Lake. So, you know, while it's tough to lose a guy you've been working with for 4+ years and Jeremy Jorgensen, and someone who is so knowledgeable about FCS college football. And, you know, essentially he created the radio network, and what was a massive part of me coming to Fargo and being here now at NDSU, Andy has done a great job. I'm happy for him. And he's obviously doing really good things for us and our show, and I'm having a blast with it.
For sure. No, I've been listening as much as I can. Think he's doing a phenomenal job, and I've certainly enjoyed coming on your show whenever I have been invited. Jeff, bring the folks behind the curtain a little bit, because you and I have been in Sioux Falls for the last 2 days in a darn near completely empty arena. Just kind of reflect on how strange this all is, and what it's like to call these games in empty gyms, and just kind of your experience being on the road. North Dakota State now having played 6 games and not a one of them, you know, in the shack.
You know, Ross, it's been really unique, obviously. And now, you know, you say it, and what is this for the season? It's probably game 7, 6, whatever it is, right? And all of our games have been without fans. And so in a weird way, I don't really even notice it anymore. I mean, it's obviously right there, smack dab, hitting you right in the face. But it's just what, you know, the old line, it is what it is now. I mean, no fans in the stands. This is an unbelievable venue. I love the Pentagon. The Sanford crew has done absolutely outstanding things. And this is a basketball setting that is worthy, in my opinion, of continued tournaments, continued big games. Next weekend, next Saturday, Gonzaga and Iowa are going to play here. I mean, it's really impressive. It's got that old feel, old style Hoosiers feel to it, right? And the parquet floors and the pictures, the history of the game of basketball, wrapping all around the building, and you feel like you're in a great place. And so, yeah, it would be great. I mean, if we had fans here, this would be an electric atmosphere. You know, you have about 3,000, 3,500 seats, I believe, and just the way it's set up, you got people, you know, fans would be able to sit on both sidelines, behind both baskets. You've got suites. You've got a bar area behind, up above both hoops as well. It is the way they set this thing up and constructed it and put it together. They did a phenomenal job. But you're right. It's just kind of you get used to this abnormal setup with no fans and it stinks. But you know, you mention it, you bring it up, and it's kind of the new normal, if you will, with what we've got going on with sports. And I'm happy for the guys that they get to play games, and certainly happy for the Bison getting finally that monkey off their backs and a win over South Dakota.
For sure. Yeah. Sam and I were joking. We might just hole up in suite number 4 up there until Iowa and Gonzaga get here.
That's a great idea. You got everything. I told you the other night when I stopped by, you don't even need a hotel room. You can really lay out a mattress and maybe order in some food, and you guys would be set for the next 2 days.
For sure. Another slow start last night for the Herd, and I think with the exception, of course, of that near win in Kansas, I think that really has been kind of the defining thing for North Dakota State, having to crawl out of holes against Nebraska, South Dakota State, certainly against Nevada. Just offensively, 3 of 18 in the first half. What are you seeing out there from the courtside view as far as North Dakota State just not being able to kick the offense into gear from the opening tip?
Well, I think a lot of it, Ross, has to do with the new faces. I mean, this is, you go back to last year and Vinny Shaheed, Tyson Ward, Jared Samuelson, Cameron Hunter, those guys could go and get you buckets. I mean, Jared's one of the all-time great three-point shooters and on Dave's staff right now, and he's just a tremendous young man. And we all know about Vinny and Tyson, right? And so, for me, the biggest question was going to be when the shot clock is winding down, who is going to create and get you a basket? And that was what Vinny and Tyson were so good at doing a year ago. And we're still trying to answer that question. And, Dave's moved some things around. He's got Sam Griesel playing the point, which is the first time he's done that. You're relying on new faces and true freshmen with Bowden Skunberg and Grant Nelson, Desmond McKinney as well. And quite honestly, even Malik Harden-Hayes, who I'm telling you is going to be a huge problem for teams in the Summit League as he continues to get more and more confident. He's already becoming a problem. He didn't play a ton last year either. So, he's kind of getting a feel for what this thing is as a full-time guy. So, I don't want to call it a work in progress because I don't believe it's that. Usually you say that when things are bad. I don't believe things are bad for this team right now. I really do think that there's an understanding of what needs to happen. It's just a matter of a few shots falling for guys like Jarius Cook and Grant Nelson and Bowden Skunberg. You see those shots go in the basket, and I really believe the confidence is going to just spiral in an upward direction. But you're right. They need to get going sooner rather than later. I can promise you David Richmond wants to see that happen as well. And one thing this team does not do, they don't quit. They don't give up. There's constant fight within them, and they play as hard as any team I've seen, no matter what sport you're talking about. So regardless, people that haven't seen this team play or have not been locked into them early in the season and look at the record and go, oh, okay, well, don't do that is what my message would be to you. This team is going to be right there in the end, giving South Dakota State problems and Oral Roberts problems in the Summit League tournament back here in Sioux Falls in March.
Yeah, I mean, I think that 0-5 number, well, now it's 1-5, but that 0-5 number next to the record is not really indicative of how good the team is. There are a ton, folks, I want you to understand this. There are a ton of mid-major programs that would have been 0-5 with that schedule. South Dakota State, I believe at the time, was number 10 in the mid-major poll. Nevada just came off being top 10 in the country. They're down certainly by their standards, but that's a pretty darn high major or high mid-major team. And then obviously Creighton and Kansas are both Final Four contenders. The record next to this team's logo in the standings is not all that indicative. What Dave did get last night, though, were major performances from the three guys that in his words, he really trusts. So the three guys that have cut down the nets, the three guys that have been in the battles. And those, of course, are Tyree, Edie, Sam Griesel, and Rocky Cruiser. Each of those guys had monster buckets last night. What have you seen kind of in the transition? You mentioned Vinny, you mentioned Tyson. It's not their team anymore. They're gone, as Coach told us in the post-game press conference after the South Dakota State loss. Those guys aren't here anymore. Now the team, if you will, belongs to Sam, Tyree, and Rocky.
You know, Ross, in all fairness as well to this year's group, you know who else would have probably started 0-5 with this schedule? Last year's group.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
I mean, you know, last year we struggled to get going starting as well. We lost to a Kansas State team that was not very good. And Indiana State beat us in Terre Haute. So, you know, I know we remember the great times, but, you know, it's in all fairness, again, like what this team this year is going through, I don't know if it would have been much different with last year's group at the helm. So it is it's the toughest start to a season in NDSU men's basketball history. There is no doubt about that. And that's just the fact of trying to go out and get games. I mean, David Richmond told Kyan Brown, man, we need games. And that first week was just a roller coaster. It was a whirlwind of where we're going, who we playing. This group hadn't practiced together much in the month of November. So it's truly the uniqueness of what we've got going on right now during the pandemic. And the guys, I think, are handling it very well. And it's because of the leaders on this team, like you mentioned. Tyree Edie, Sam Griesel, Rocky Cruiser. I mean, those guys have played a lot of basketball here, and they have, you know, they've been put in the position of leading as players in the most crazy time to do so in college athletics. And they've done a phenomenal job. You know, I think when I've gotten to know these guys, they're all good dudes. I mean, Dave always talks about we don't need nice guys, we need the right guys. And these guys are the right guys, you know, and their game fits what Dave is looking for on both ends of the floor in his program. You know, Tyree Edie is such a measured, thoughtful young man. I mean, smart, calculating, and you talk to him and it's always a very intriguing conversation. Sam Griesel, his parents have done a phenomenal job. I mean, here's a guy that has, in my mind, you know, he could play high major college basketball and could be a guy that helps teams like Nebraska and Creighton win. And we're really happy, obviously, he's here. And he just steps up, man. He's a dude. I mean, he steps up when the lights are, you know, shining brightest and his game has expanded. You know, he's starting to hit the three-point shot now as well. If he can do that, look out. He is going to be a nightmare matchup. And Rocky Cruiser is one of the best players in our conference, and he is also, you know, a great individual and a great leader as well. You got three guys that I think you couldn't ask for, you know, better personalities and better leaders during this time, and we're lucky to have them. They're really good players, better guys. Their parents are fantastic. Their family's fantastic in, you know, raising them and continuing to support, and they're all big fans. I know they want to be in the stands as well. You know, you see the hashtag, the sip off before tip off with the parents of NDSU basketball players. They're fired up, man. They're ready to go. And so, yeah, to answer your question, those three guys, the returners, the leaders, the captains, they've led the way. They've done their jobs and then some.
Yeah, it's weird not seeing the Greasels and the No-Techs and all the folk, the parents in the stands at every game. That it's certainly an adjustment. Hopefully not one we have to get used to.
No question. I mean, what do we got coming up here next week for the women? We're going to have up to 1,000 fans in the stands. And big tip of the hat to Matt Larson, Todd Phelps, Scott Walk, and all of the medical staff, the trainers at NDSU. I mean, I can tell you, I've been inside the Tier 1 bubble and been testing regularly over the last 3 weeks during this whole deal. And man, those folks deserve all the kudos and all the support and pats on the back. And you know, if you want to go to the game coming up this week, I encourage you to go. If you don't want to go, that is obviously fine as well. But I can tell you it's going to be safe. It's going to be socially distanced. They're taking this so seriously, and they're going to make sure that everybody is in a good position from a health standpoint, and you can enjoy a game. And obviously a tip of the cap as well to Jory Collins and the NDSU women, who are off to a great start this season also.
I was going to say, you and I don't have an hour and a half here, because if we did, we could certainly get into the what is going on with Jory Collins' program right now, because he's cooking with gas, and it's incredibly impressive. But that's another podcast for another day. Before we kind of get into the UND part of things here, that, of course, being the game that we will drop this podcast right before, I got to ask you, Malik Harden-Hayes has shown, and you mentioned him already, but he has shown some things where, you know, Coach mentioned, and I want to get into this a little bit too, but Coach mentioned that after the season of competition waiver, they're going to get Malik for 3 more years. I mean, this is basically his, you know, red shirt freshman year or whatever. He'll be a sophomore next season. How good can this kid be? Because he's pretty freaking good already.
Oh, I think he'd be really good, Ross. You know, I think we're all starting to figure it out. And I think he is also starting to figure it out as well. That, you know, he is built to be one of the best players in this league, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take confidence, and it's going to take practice and experience and all of those things to come together. But you're seeing glimpses of it right now. And, you know, yesterday was a tough day for Malik and for his family. And I want to, you know, shout out his mother, Cynthia, who is watching on her behind the mic cam as well, and send good thoughts their way. Malik lost his grandmother yesterday and was playing with a heavy heart. And, you know, the unintended consequences of COVID-19, Malik hasn't been able to spend a lot of time around her, you know, and hadn't had a chance to, you know, be around her and his family with that as much as he would have liked, obviously, and the entire family would have liked. And so that's hard. That's too bad. And so, you know, the team came together yesterday. I think they rallied around him. I know they did. And he played his tail off last night. Knowing what he had on his mind is pretty impressive. And it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to the light bulb analogy turning on. I think it's flickering. I think it's almost pretty well lit. But, you know, as we continue to see him play more games, I think we're going to see more of those types of plays we saw last night with the putback tip dunk over 2 Coyote defenders, which was just big time. He's got a little, you know, I look at him and I don't think that he and Stanley Amude have the same game. I'm not saying that, but I see similarities with the way they move, how long they are. Malik's got to put on a little bit more muscle and get in the weight room a little bit, but he can shoot the three. He's posting up. He's playing above the rim. He's defending. He's rebounding. If he can get the mid-range game going like Amude does right now with that killer jab step and just pull up 15-footer, man, he is going to really be a problem for opposing teams in the Summit League, and he's just starting to get a feel, I think, for it right now.
Jeff, I want to take just a quick moment to go kind of more from like a 50,000-foot view. I mean, we're looking at right now a situation with the season of competition waiver where – over the next 2 seasons following this one, you basically could, in theory, replace Rocky Cruiser with the highest profile recruit in NDSU men's basketball history in Andrew Morgan. And I'm not saying that Andrew's going to be as good as Rocky. There's no, but what I am saying is you have a pretty darn similar roster for this season, next season, and the season after that, meaning the ceiling for this program is just unbelievable. But what are your thoughts on the potential, you know, changes with the NCAA, the one-time transfer rule, Coach Richmond kind of having to recruit his own roster? I mean, where do you see that all moving as it relates to just the freakish potential of this group with young guys like Malik, like Bowden, like specifically Grant Nelson? I mean, you could be looking at an extremely bright future for North Dakota State basketball kind of as long as everyone stays on the ship.
Well, I think what Dave has grown here now in year 7, and I feel it now, is a tremendous culture to his program. You know, we talk about football here, about what they're all about, and their culture is unmatched, and rightly so. Look, David Richmond has a basketball program here in Fargo. He's coached this program to 3 NCAA tournaments in 6 years. He's been here his entire career. If there's anyone that knows what it takes to win in Fargo and get it done, it's David Richmond. I mean, the guy is Bison basketball. I mean, through and through. And he's a tremendous coach. He's a great person. He's got 4 great daughters, his wife, Stephanie. His parents are outstanding. They're educators as well, obviously. His dad, John, the president at Science in Wahpeton. And so they get it, right? Like, they understand, hey, here's what we want. Here's what it takes. This is what we're going to do. And Dave has his culture firmly entrenched with this program, I believe. And he knows the kind of guys he wants. He's got them in. And he's increasing the talent level as well. And, you know, former assistants Jaden Olson, Will Veasley, and now you're seeing Kyan Brown, you know, his imprint and fingerprints are starting to develop on this program also. You know, we know KB. Everybody knows KB. He's a high-energy guy, but KB is a heck of a basketball coach as well. He understands talent and sees talent and how it fits within the program. And I think we're starting to see with that collaboration, Ross, the talent level growing within this program also under David Richmond. So, we'll see how it all shakes out with who decides to stay. I mean, look, you know, ultimately Rocky Cruiser could stay next year for another season if he wanted to. And so I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it does, think about that. I mean, think about Rocky Cruiser, Sam Griesel, Tyree Edie, Malik Hardin-Hayes, Grant Nelson, Andrew Morgan. I mean, you've got a big-time base there that you have in place for next year and for the years to come. Bowden Skunberg is hitting his stride. Jarius Cook is another player who's talented enough to be here. So the program, the culture that David Richmond has been so trying to entrench and working his tail off to entrench, it is here now. And I think you're going to see the continued fruits of that labor here in the next 4 to 5 years to come.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my understanding of what I've heard is that Rocky does indeed plan on coming back. And then that, you know, that following season after that, he would be the only senior. Just crazy stuff to think about. Now we've got the Battle of Dakotas. I think folks won't soon forget the epic butt kicking that was laid down in the Summit League tournament game. Has been one of the wider margins in the history of conference championship games with a ticket to the dance on the line. Now North Dakota without Marlon Stewart. He was their guy. He hit the big shot in Grand Forks to hand North Dakota State what I believe was their final loss of the season last year. But they're not the cupboard is not empty, and that is in a first team All Summit League big Philip Rabracha. And I got to tell you, Jeff, he's been extremely. I don't know how much you've had a chance to take in UND's 2 games down here in Sioux Falls. The whole thing revolves around number 12 for UND.
Well, he's a great player, and he's added a little bit of a 3-point shot as well to his arsenal, which is scary. And look, he was one of the best players in the league a year ago. I mean, he just has a good understanding for the game. You know, he grew up, in Europe and grew up around professional locker rooms with his father. And so, look, he gets it, man. I mean, he knows what winning basketball is, and he is a huge piece to their success last year. And certainly he's the guy, like you said, this year as well. Paul Saylor's a great coach, and he's going to have these guys ready to go. You know, we were talking about it a little bit last night after the game, and I promise you, he is going to let every one of his guys, if they need a reminder, what happened here 9 months ago. I mean, that was an unbelievable performance by North Dakota State and by David Richmond's team. You know, one of the all-time greatest championship performances at any level at any league. You know, I believe it either tied or is the largest margin of victory in the Summit League Tournament Championship game all time. I'll have to go back and double check that here in a little bit. But we all know how we felt then, and it was an amazing night. But, you know, look, honestly, that's a different team, and this team is different now, and they didn't this team didn't accomplish that. So, you know, we've got two very different looks for both NDSU and UND from a personnel standpoint tonight in this basketball game. But you're right, Philip Rabrasha, he's the headliner, and they are going to feed him the ball and look to, I think, get him down low, going to work inside, and then moving around him and trying to get all the attention paid upon him underneath the low block area and perhaps setting some things up around the outside. You know, UND don't beat themselves. I mean, they're not out of whack, out of sorts, undisciplined. They are well coached, and it's going to take another great effort tonight, Ross, for NDSU to pull out a win. I would expect a pretty similar game tonight to what we saw last night in the win by the Bison over USD.
Over the last two seasons, I think if you watch the games and you sit close and kind of get the feel of things, I do get the inclination that maybe Rocky Cruiser and Philip Rabrasha don't like each other all that much. Is it fun to have a little bit of these long-term rivalries, guys that have guarded each other three, four, five times in league play and maybe have seen each other enough at this point?
Well, it's great. I mean, it makes the games better. It's better for the fans. I think it adds, you know, energy. There's not, you know, as sterile as the environment is, it certainly is not that on the floor, right? I mean, you've got some juice to the game, and that's what you're looking to see. And I think anytime you see NDSU and UND or NDSU and SDSU, you get that kind of vibe, even if it is in this, you know, this new tournament setting and non-league play, even though it's conference games squaring off against one another. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I think anytime you have a quote unquote rivalry game, you need to have a little bit of that. And that's what makes college athletics so fantastic. That's what makes college basketball so much fun. Again, a bummer not to have fans here and to have that atmosphere, but it's still, you know, I guess the term, right, is bubble that we have used so much during this bizarre time. It's almost like you have your own little bubble on the court. And even though outside of it, we're all, you know, wearing our masks and doing our thing, it's still basketball on the court. And it's still those memories and emotions and feelings are all in there, regardless of what's going on outside of the sidelines and the baselines out of play. So, no doubt about it, it's going to have that energetic feel tonight, and I know it's going to be a tremendous basketball game.
You do your research, Jeff. You do your job well. You do the work. Who are the major roster turnover for UND? So who are the non-Rabrasha guys that North Dakota State fans need to watch out for tonight?
Well, Caleb Nero is the Weber State transfer. He's a guard. He can handle it. He can shoot. He can get to the basket. He's the other guy, besides Philip Rabrasha, that scores for them. You know, I like the look of Sabian Sims. He's a junior college kid who's big and long, and really, he really looks the part in a big time way. And so he's an interesting follow. The Iheanacho kid from the Twin Cities is a young guy. You can tell he's young. He's got kind of that baby face look to him, but he's a talented young player as well. And then you have a couple of returners that fit. Gertatis Urbanovicius from Lithuania returns. Brady Danielson returns. He's followed Paul Sather to Aberdeen and then up to Grand Forks, essentially. And also Ethan Igbonigo out of Lakeville North is back as well. So, the big one is Marlon Stewart. I mean, he was UND basketball last season. Big shot guy, wanted the ball in late moments and a tremendous player. And I think a lot like NDSU, UND is trying to learn how to live without their star players and learn to live without Marlon this year with what he was able to bring them a year ago and helping push them to the Summit League Tournament championship game.
Jeff, what needs to happen for North Dakota State to get this dub? And then I'm gonna take the score prediction to myself because I think it's a little tacky for the play by play man score prediction.
what needs to happen? I think a lot of what we saw last night, I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to see NDSU get off to a better start. I mean, we're seeing this group play from behind in every single game. You know, let's take the fight to the opponent a little bit and you know, make them play from behind and stagger. You know, this team is going to be solid defensively and rebounding, keeping UND off of the glass, not allowing second chance opportunities with Rabracha and Urbanovicius underneath. I think that's massive. I think it's very important. And then on the offensive end, let's see some of those shots from the outside fall. They just have not fallen on the pace that David Richmond would like to see. Let's see Jarius Cook knock down two or three of those threes. Let's see Bowden Skunberg get into the act. You know, the guys that this group is asking to knock down those shots, those outside shots, let's see some of those fall. And when they do, and if they do, the confidence, I think, is just going to head in a big-time upward direction. So, you know, contain Rabracha. Don't allow him to get loose. Don't allow second-chance opportunities. And let's get off to a great start on the offensive end and play with pace and play with urgency like we did coming out of the locker room in the second half of the USD game.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you make a great point there. 20% from three, 77% from two last night. Just wild, wild percentage splits. And I think North Dakota State may not have a game this year where they shoot at 40 or 50% from three. They might not be that level of shooters. But if these guys could even eclipse 30% from three, you know, and have a night where they go, you know, six of 20 or something like that from distance, it would just be a more efficient way of scoring. I agree. I think last night you didn't see Tyler Witts at all. I don't think that's going to be the play tonight. I like some minutes for Tyler Witts. I like Witts and Nelson and Cruiser to really focus on beating up on Rabracha and making sure that someone who isn't Philip Rabracha, you know, wins the game for UND. If UND is going to win, Amude was everything to USD last night, but he's a very different player than Philip Rabracha, and it takes a different kind of guy to guard him, which is, I think, why you didn't see any Wits, and you saw not a ton of two big lineups from NDSU. They played Cruiser and Nelson together very seldomly. I think you could see Wits and Nelson or Cruiser and Nelson play a little bit together tonight and try and make somebody who isn't Rabracha beat him. Jeff, like I said, I'm going to leave you alone on this one. Tonight, I've got 69-61 Bison.
Nice.
Folks, yeah, thank you. This episode of Bison Report Radio is brought to you by Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rise, of course, brought to you by North Dakota State football legend Chase Morlock and his buddy Aaron Lean, former Minnesota State University Moorhead basketball star, two local kids who are doing a great job over there with adult training and also high school and college athlete training. Right now, state of Minnesota, not letting them do it in person. They're doing an awesome job with their Elevate app. Really cool in-home workouts. You don't need to go spend $300, $400 on free weights or a bench or anything like that. It's a ton of body weight stuff, household objects. They're doing a really, really good job to make sure that you don't gain the quarantine 15. Check out Aaron, check out Chase with Rise Fitness. And then when things open back up, get your butts in the gym. Jeff, I want to thank you so much, man. This was a ton of fun. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate you, man. Always good talking Bison, and appreciate all you do as well. Fun follow and the podcast is a blast. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, we'll catch you next time, and go Bison.